For tape, CDs, DVDs, to our publication, Voices from His Excellent Glory, Declaring the Kingdom, write P.O. Box 21516, Hot Springs, Arkansas, zip 71903. Our website is www.LakeHamiltonBibleCamp.com and LHBCOnline.com. There are hundreds of free audio files there. It's like going to Bible school at home.
Friday afternoon, November the 29th, 1985. Thanksgiving weekend teaching and deliverance seminar being held at Lake Hamilton Bible Campgrounds, Hot Springs National Park, Arkansas. Glenn and Irma Miller are the teachers of the afternoon.
Well, I praise the Lord this afternoon for His blessings, for His promises, and for His word that we're beginning. Once again, the Lord is beginning to bring a revelation of His word that has been lost. And it should never have been lost, because the word was never lost. But we've just been so rebellious that we have refused to accept it. And we'd rather listen to tradition than we would to what the word of the Lord says. And tradition has bound us from the word of the Lord. And it's brought us to a place where if you want to call it that, a nominal Christian instead of one that's on fire, moving by the power of the Spirit to accomplish that which God intends to bring forth in the earth. And I want to be part of what He's going to bring forth and is bringing forth in the earth. I want to walk before Him to the very best of my ability and in holiness and righteousness for His namesake. And that, you know, in years past, I never thought too much about that. Just a Christian, and that was all. Heaven was my home, and one day the Lord was going to come, and I was suddenly going to be gone, and there I was, or would be. But I have found by my study of the Scriptures that that was all tradition. And there's a battle to fight, and a victory to win, and a world to claim. And Jesus is the name we do it in. And it'll be done by people who desire to see it accomplished, and by people who see that God requires holiness in His people. And to those who seek after that, will the Spirit of the Lord come upon them and move, and they shall say, Thus saith the Lord, and it will be so. Hallelujah. Praise the name of the Lord. Well, this afternoon we're going to teach on deliverance. Lake Hamilton Bible Camp is known for deliverance. That's why God brought us here. That was the purpose in bringing us here, that Irma and I would teach and minister deliverance and help to bring ministers who would teach and minister deliverance. But the campground is just not a place where deliverance is taught. This is a place where the whole Word of God is to be taught, from the first verse of Genesis to the last verse of Revelation. And deliverance just happens to be part of that, but God just happened to lay on our hearts to minister mainly in the line of deliverance. And then along with that, He's beginning to reveal other things to us that have become astounding to us as we have seen the revelation of the Word of the Lord come. As He's brought other ministries in, and as we have studied the Word, and it's become revelation to us in areas as well, and we find that the Word of the Lord is to flow forth in a whole orb truth of the Word, which is Jesus. So, I wonder, when you come here and you know that this place is a place of deliverance, what your purpose in coming here is. Do you come here so that you can get some help for your own problem and trouble? Or do you come here so you can get some help, so you can be a help to somebody else? Are you selfish? Or are you coming here because you need help, so you can help somebody else when you're helped? Now, if you're just coming here for your own help, I hope you get it. But that's not the real reason for this place. The reason for this place is so that the Lord can raise up a body of people that will go forth in victory and in power and in authority and holiness and righteousness, declaring and making Jesus not only Lord of their lives, but Lord of every situation. And they'll be able to stand forth and say, It is written, and it shall be so. Because their heart is with it. And it comes from their heart and from their innermost being and from their spirit. And not a spoken word, but a living word that comes forth out of them in the name of Jesus. Leviticus chapter 19, verse 2. The Lord spake unto Moses, saying, Speak unto all the congregation of the children of Israel, and say unto them, you shall be holy, for I, the Lord your God, am holy. He didn't say, Moses, tell them that if they'd like to be holy, they ought to be. He said, Moses, you tell them that they are to be holy. That place only comes as we search the word of the Lord and apply it to our hearts and lives, seek after to have the curses and the sins of our ancestors broken and lifted off from us, and the familiar spirits of disease and all that follow the family line down because we have sinned, our ancestors have sinned, and given right to the curses that God says that He allows to come upon us. And as we seek after to find the deliverance from these areas of our lives, can we come to a place where we can walk before the Lord in holiness and righteousness? 1 Peter chapter 1, page 242, verse 15. But as He which hath called you is holy, so be ye holy in all manner of conversation. In all manner of conversation. In all manner of conversation. You better write that one down in your indelibly in the subconscious of your mind so you can't forget it. And in the conscious of your mind so you can't forget it. So the Holy Ghost will prick you when in all manner of conversation it's not with holiness. Because it is written, Leviticus 19 and 2, be ye holy, for I am holy. Revelation 22:11. He that is unjust, let him be unjust still. And he which is filthy, let him still be filthy. If he's not going to change from his wicked way, don't waste your time with him. Let him be filthy. If he's serious and wants help and desires help, pray for him. Work with him. But if they go back to their vomit the next day and keep going back to it, let them be filthy still. He that is righteous, let him be righteous still. And he that is holy, let him be holy still. So evidently there is a place that we can come to before the Lord and in the Lord where we can arrive under that place of holiness in the Lord. And help us everyone to have a desire within our heart to search out our own soul and our own innermost being till we can come to that place before the Lord where we can be holy before the Lord. In every act and in every way and every conversation that there can be holiness unto the Lord. Verse 14. It's strange that this is in the last chapter of the Bible. Why would they put it in the New Testament? Blessed are they that do His commandments. I thought, oh, that was just in the Old Testament. We didn't have to pay attention to it. That's funny. It's right here in the very last chapter of the New Testament, or what some people call the New Testament. I don't see any such thing as the New Testament. It's all one book. All one book. So the Lord says that we should desire to be holy. And as we come before the Lord with the areas of our lives that we're tormented with and have problems with, this afternoon, some of those areas we're going to discuss and bring up, and we're going to pray, and Irma's going to bring and discuss some of these things, and then we're going to have a session of prayer. As we pray, you determine in your heart if any of these areas affect you. Now, everybody is not affected in every area by all these things, but some of us in some way are affected by some of these things. And as these things are mentioned this afternoon, then you need to, with all your heart, to determine that you're going to be free from that area of your life where you have a bondage and you're bound in it and you're not free. But you must determine that I will be free. And then when you're free, that you'll stay free. You'll put the blood of Jesus there to cleanse you today. Then you'll fill it with the Holy Ghost. Then when Satan comes back, you'll say, oh, no, you don't. This is not your house anymore. You don't belong here. This is the temple of the living God. And you don't come back here anymore. I belong to Jesus. And that area of my life's not yours anymore. And I'm going to walk in victory in Jesus. Then when Satan comes and torments you and something happens, immediately you take a place of authority and you stand up and say, you have no right here. I'll not yield to that. And if you do, you'll be quick to repent and put up a wall there where Satan can't come back and torment you in that area of your life. Then we don't have to keep going over and over this with a lot of you, because you walk in the victory, which you should walk in, which is Jesus. Well, Let's look at an area that we've talked about here before and talk about from time to time, but it's an area that is very prevalent in the church and doesn't belong there and shouldn't be, but it still is. That's the area of sexual sins, basically known as incest. Turn with me to Leviticus chapter 18. We will look at this subject. That page in my Bible is getting worn out. I've used it so much. But it's still an area in the body of Christ that needs to be dealt with. It must be dealt with. It must be cleansed. The temple must be cleansed if there's going to be holiness in the household of faith. And this promiscual sexual sins is an abomination to God. Fornication and adultery, incest, divorce, it's all an abomination to God, and it's in the household of faith, and it can't be, but it is, and it has to be cleansed out. It must be removed if there's going to be holiness in the body of Christ. There must be a spirit of repentance. There must be a spirit of desiring to be clean, and we must search for it and seek for it and then walk in it when we find it as we're set free from it. I believe that the spirit of incest exists in almost every single person. Why? Because the scripture tells us that that particular sin carries a curse of God for 10 generations. That's 400 years. And if that sin carries that curse, I don't have any idea what my 10th great-grandfather and grandmother did back there. And I'm sure that somewhere down the line, in between, there's incest in my family line. Therefore, I'm of the belief that every single person of the household of faith needs to be set free from the curse of incest. Not only do they need to be set free from it, but it's actually in operation today amongst the Christian, amongst the congregation, amongst the elders, and in some of the pulpits. In fact, a lot of them. It ought not to be, but it's a fact, and we've got to face the fact and quit hiding our heads in the sand and stand behind the pulpit and declare these things, and so that it be brought out into the light, so that they can be cleansed, and the conviction will rest, and by the blood of Jesus there will be deliverance, and in the authority in the name of Jesus there will be deliverance. I said this before, and I'll say it again. This subject should be taught by every pastor from the pulpit. It should be taught by every Sunday school teacher in the Sunday school class, and it should be taught in the home. It is in the scripture several times. And if God thought enough of it to put it in there that many times, then it's a subject that God feels should be taught, and it should be taught publicly and not hid behind a screen someplace and thought, oh, that's some dirty subject. No, God said sex is good. He brought it into being in the right respect. It's good, and it's part of man and wife, and it belongs where it belongs, and it needs to be taught to our children so that they'll not sin and be unholy before they come to a time when they're married. They'll be virgins, both boys and girls. And we're not today because it's never been taught from the pulpit. We've got homosexuality, we've got lesbianism, we've got all kinds of filth across the nation and in the schools and everywhere, and free sex, all because they've never been taught that God hates it and that it's an abomination to God, and they've never been taught, and we've never been taught, and I was never taught, the fear of God in this relationship. That God says that these things are cursed by Him, and that we get a curse on our life because, and I was never taught the fear of God in this area of my life, and I never heard it taught until I first talked on it myself. I'm the first person that I ever heard my ears teach this was my own self. Now that's not oughtn't to be so. This ought to be taught across the nation, across in every church, by every pastor, so that this lesbianism and homosexuality and the curse that's in the land, because it's a curse from God, this AIDS, that this curse will not come to the household of faith. But if we don't stand and clean our own household, we'll have this in the household of faith. Because God says that He'll curse you, and it's a curse of God, and it's just the beginning of what God's going to bring on the nation in other areas as well. Pornography. All types of pornography. Pornography in relation to incest. You can buy books about family incest. You can buy books on the bookstands about bestiality. All types of bestiality. And we call this a nation under God. It's a nation that is turning their back on God because they're allowing these things to come forth and to be brought into your house and for your children to have and for you to have. If you've got any of it in your house, God bring a conviction on you before He brings a judgment on you. Because the judgment of God will come on you if you participate in it. I was never taught the fear of God, and I've had gotten mixed, been involved in a little bit of this, not to a great extent, but a little bit of it in some of the places where we worked and all, with the filthy books and things like that, because it was brought to the machine shops and all the men passed it around everywhere. But God says it's an abomination. God says that you shall not be a participant in it. And we need to ask God to forgive us of it. And where we work and all, to talk about these things. The women are just as bad as the men, I have found out, in the shops and in the offices. In fact, I've had some women tell me that women are more filthy than men. So it's not just men. It's the body of Christ, man and woman. That have been involved and are guilty of these areas in their life of sinning against God by allowing themselves to be participants in that which God says is an abomination to Him. All right. Leviticus chapter 18. Speak unto the children of Israel and say unto them, I am the Lord your God. After the doings of the land of sin wherein ye dwelt shall you not do. And after the doings of the land of Canaan, whither I bring you, shall you not do. Neither shall you walk in their ordinances or their regulations. You shall do my judgments and keep mine ordinances to walk therein. I am the Lord your God. You shall therefore keep my statutes and my judgments, which if a man do, he shall live in them. I am the Lord your God. None of you shall approach to any that is near of kin to him to uncover their nakedness. I am the Lord. The nakedness of thy father, the nakedness of thy mother, shalt thou not uncover. She is thy mother, and thou shalt not uncover her nakedness. The nakedness of thy father's wife shalt thou not uncover. It is thy father's nakedness. The nakedness of thy sister, the daughter of thy father, or daughter of thy mother, whether she be born at home or born abroad, even their nakedness thou shalt not uncover. Half-sister or half-brother. The nakedness of thy son's daughter or thy daughter's daughter, even their nakedness shalt thou not uncover. This is thine own nakedness. The nakedness of thy daughter's wife, begotten of thy father, she is thy sister. Thou shalt not uncover her nakedness. Thou shalt not uncover the nakedness of thy father's sister. She is thy father's near kinswoman. Thou shalt not uncover the nakedness of thy mother's sister, for she is thy mother's near kinswoman. Thou shalt not uncover the nakedness of thy father's brother. Thou shalt not approach to his wife, she is thine aunt. Thou shalt not uncover the nakedness of thy daughter-in-law, she is thy son's wife. Thou shalt not uncover her nakedness. Thou shalt not uncover the nakedness of thy brother's wife, it is thy brother's nakedness. Thou shalt not uncover the nakedness of a woman and her daughter, neither shalt thou take her son's daughter or her daughter's daughter to uncover her nakedness, for they are her near kinswoman. It is wickedness. Neither shalt thou take a wife to her sister, to vex her, to uncover her nakedness, besides the other in her lifetime. And also thou shalt not approach unto a woman to uncover her nakedness, as long as she is put apart for uncleanliness. Okay, I want to go back here and look at some of these verses here a little bit, because I won't repeat it, even though we're going to read two more chapters that relate to these same subjects. We will discuss some of it here. When this talks about nakedness, that is both the nakedness stripped naked, and it also means sexual intercourse. Both. That word nakedness means having sexual intercourse or relation. And today we have a lot of problems, the body of Christ, but of fathers and daughters, grandfathers and granddaughters, uncles and nieces. There's a lot of problem in the body of Christ in that area. And the Lord here says that you shall not uncover their nakedness. The nakedness of your sister, brothers and sisters. Brothers and sisters, as soon as they're old enough to know better, they should not take baths together. They should not sleep in the same rooms together. Or neither should they or sleep in the same beds together or dress and undress together. God says you shall not do it. Now, I know in some places that may be hard to separate out. But God says that you shall separate it. It shall not be that they shall not be together. Brothers and sisters. You see, we're opening up the door for incest. We're opening up the door for ungodly relations that will bring hardship and sorrow. It will bring shame. It will bring rejection. It will bring... what else? There's other... Yes, it'll open the door to child abuse, too. Their children, as they come down later in life and they get married, it opens up a door in their home for child abuse when these things have taken place when they were young. And the same is true with boys. There's more so with uncles and grandfathers than with fathers, but even with some fathers, homosexuality between the father and the boy, between a grandfather and the boy, between an uncle and the boy. And it has brought this abominable curse that we have in the land, the homosexuality. And it is started, basically, most of the time, by a relative. By a relative. More so than a stranger. Some cases are outside the family. But there's more inside the family than outside the family. And God says that this is an abomination to Him. You shall not do it. And we'll find later on that you're cursed with a curse when you partake of these things. And if you've ever been partaker of these things, or if you have been molested, then and you feel guilt, and you feel dirty, and you feel... And there's another thing that comes with that, especially with women. They never can feel a right relationship with their husband, which is contrary to the Word of God. A woman should be able to enjoy her husband in sexual relations just as much. They should be able to enjoy each other just as much, one as the other. And if you can't, then you need prayer for it. And God says that sex is good, and it's a place in the home, but it's a place in a right place, and not to be had until the time that you're married and you're to be a virgin, you young people, or to be a virgin until the time that God brings you to a place of where He gives you a mate. And you're better off not you go looking for a mate. If you ain't, God will send you one. And it may not come when you're 18 or when you're 20 or when you're 22. You may be 25 or something. Or even older, or even 36, or 46. Brother and sister Goodson have been married 10 years, I think, and they waited for each other. And Sister Goodson needs to testify to the ladies. I'm not going to take her testimony away. Tomorrow she's going to testify for you. She's got a wonderful testimony for especially for the young people. She has a wonderful testimony. Tomorrow she's going to have time to give it for the young people. Amen. And then it's true of Brother Goodson. But hers is a little different because the Lord had her do something ahead of time, which was very unusual. And she went ahead and did it because the Lord told her to. I'll let her tell. Anyway. But the Lord requires holiness of His people. And we're coming to the hour where God is separating His people. And to those who will walk in holiness and righteousness are the ones who God is going to give the right, the rulership of the kingdoms to. To those, and the rest of you, you'll get in the kingdom maybe, but by the skin of your teeth, if that be possible. But God is looking for those who desire to serve Him with all of their heart. So all of these areas here, God says, is an abomination to Him. And that He requires holiness and separation. And if you are bound with a spirit of lust in this area, then you need deliverance from it. And if you have been molested, then you need deliverance in that area of shame or whatever is binding you. If you're a woman and you're frigid towards your husband, you need deliverance from it because that's not godly. That's not of God because God never made a woman that way. God made her to cleave unto her husband. You know what that word cleave means? It means to be so tight that you can't get anything between. That's what that word means. So if you can't cleave unto your husband in that respect, then you need some deliverance. Because the word of the Lord says that you're to cleave unto your husband, and to him only shall you follow after. And the same with the man. Same with the man. What applies to one applies to both equally. Okay. Let's go down and look and pick up here at verse 18 again. We've already covered this, and we'll take this 18th verse up again in another chapter. And neither shalt thou take a wife the 19th verse. Also, thou shalt not approach unto a woman to uncover her nakedness, as long as she is put apart for her uncleanness. Moreover, thou shalt not lie carnally with thy neighbor's wife, adultery, fornication, to defile thyself with her. Thou shalt not let any of thy seed pass through the fire to Moloch, abortion. Neither shalt thou therefore profane the name of the Lord thy God. I am the Lord. Anyone who's been involved with abortion, you need deliverance from a spirit of murder. If either it be man or woman, a husband, wife, or a boyfriend, or a girl that you have has gotten pregnant, and you've been responsible for it, and she's had an abortion, you need deliverance from the spirit of murder, and so does she, both of you. And thou shalt not lie with mankind as with womankind. It is an abomination, homosexuality, lesbianism. Neither shalt thou lie with any beast to defile thyself therewith. Neither shall any woman stand before a beast to lie down thereto. It is confusion, bestiality. Defile not ye yourselves in any of these things. For in all these things the nations are defiled, which I cast out before you. And the land is defiled, therefore I do visit the iniquity thereof upon it. Verse 30. Verse 29. For whosoever shall commit any of these abominations, even the souls that commit them, shall be cut off from among their people. Therefore shall ye keep mine ordinances, that you commit not any one of these abominable customs which were committed before you, that you defile not yourself therein. I am the Lord your God. So we're not to commit any of these abominable customs. And the Lord says here that we'll be cut off if we commit them. Now, we'll get on a little farther over here, but you can be cut off in a lot of ways. You don't have to drop dead. But you're cut off. Everybody who does not arrive and achieve under 70 years, you're cut off. Because every single Christian is guaranteed by the Word of God 70 years. And if you die before 70 years, you're cut off. It may be because of the sins of your ancestors or your own sins, but you need to search your heart and find these areas so that you'll not be defiled and cut off before the allotted time that God has given to us. Every one of us is guaranteed by the Word of God 70 years. And then after that, so be it as our faith is unto us. Moses got 120. Lord, increase my faith. I thank you for it. Amen. Why can't we have 120? We don't have to die just because we reach 70. The Lord, and it is written, Satan, that the Lord renews my health as the eagle. It is written, Satan, that he gives me health in all my flesh. Amen. Amen. That means that even my hair will grow back up here and it might turn dark. Amen. And I know people that God's put their teeth back in their heads. So, Lord, you can do that for us too. And we can throw these things away. We didn't need them. I didn't need them when I was born. I don't need them to die with. Amen. I believe that we're in the hour and the day of restoration, when these things will begin to happen, and we'll see them multiply in our midst. The glory of the Lord shines forth around about us. Amen. Amen. Well, Leviticus chapter 20. You know, Moses just didn't say these things because he wanted to. You notice what it says in the beginning of each one of these chapters. And the Lord spake unto Moses, saying, Lord, today we've got his word. He doesn't speak to all of us verbally. Sometimes he does. Sometimes he does. But he's speaking to us by this word right here. And he's saying to us, speak unto my people. Speak unto my people. And again thou shalt say to the children of Israel, whosoever he be of the children of Israel, or of the strangers that sojourn in Israel, that giveth any of his sword seed unto Moloch, he shall surely be put to death. The people of the land shall stone him with stones. Today, that's abortion. I will set my face, and also not only that, but there is also human sacrifice and worship unto Satan as well. The Lord says, I will set my face against that man and will cut him off from among his people, because he hath given his seed unto Moloch to defile my sanctuary and to profane my holy name. And if the people of the land do in any ways hide their eyes from the man which he giveth of his seed unto Moloch and kill him not, then I will even set my face against that man and against his family and will cut him off. So, these people who are pro-life and are standing against abortion, that's of God that they do that. Because here it says that if we don't stand against these things, that we'll be cut off as well. So So I bless those people, Lord, who are doing it. And we stand with them against abortion. And the soul that turneth after searches have familiar spirits and have wizards to go whoring after them. I will even set my face against that soul and will cut him off from among his people. Sanctify yourselves, therefore, and be ye holy. For I am the Lord your God, and ye shall keep my statutes and do them. It says, by the way, my statutes of people, would you like to keep them? They're in there. You ought to read them and see what you think of them and see if you think they belong to us. You know, they're over in the Old Testament, and that's not for us today. All we have to live by is the New Testament, but they're over there, and if you'd like them, why, look at them and see if you want to keep them. And you shall keep my statutes and do them. I am the Lord your God which sanctifieth you. No, he didn't ask you if you'd like to. He didn't ask me. He said, do it. You have no choice. Do it. And in doing it, you'll find some things that you'll probably rebel against a whole lot. But the Lord will work on you until you do it joyfully. And you'll see that it's the word of the Lord, and you need to apply it to your heart and life and to live by it. One of them's right across there in verse 26, right across on the other side. It says, you shall not eat anything with blood, with the blood. Neither shall you use enchantments or observe times, horoscopes, witchcraft, water witching, blood sausage, blood pudding. All very common in this nation and in other nations. But God says it's an abomination to him, and you shall not do it. Okay? So we need to search our heart and these areas of our lives and find I'm going to break up in the middle here. I'm going over to Deuteronomy chapter 7. Just come to me. Chapter 7, verse 25. Hold your place back there. We're going back. The graven images of their gods shall ye burn with fire. Thou shalt not desire the gold or silver that is on them, neither nor take it unto thee, lest thou be snared therein. For it is an abomination to the Lord thy God. What is these areas? These are areas of idols and such as that. And it's things that you bring into your house that the word of the Lord says is an abomination to you. Now, that's a whole different study. I'm not going to get into it this afternoon because it would take the rest of the afternoon. But the Lord, there's a whole list of things that God says an abomination, and you shall not bring them into your house. And owls and frogs and pictures of serpents and snakes and lots of other things. God says an abomination, and you shall not bring it into your house. And this came to us by a revelation of the word of the Lord. By a young lady here in this town that God healed of cancer when Irma prayed for her, when she cleaned her house of the abominable things, of pictures and statues and all, of owls and frogs. She was dying of cancer. She weighed 65 or 68 pounds. Today she weighs 130 pounds. She's completely healed and a miracle marvel to the doctors. But God healed her and raised her up when they gave her up to die and said she would die in a few days. She hadn't retained anything on her stomach for over 6 weeks. All she did was vomit blood and pass blood. She couldn't drink, contain even a spoonful of water in her stomach. She'd come right out of her. And when she repented and asked the Lord to forgive her and cleaned the stuff out of her house, and the house was prayed over, when Irma helped clear her house out 2 weeks afterwards, God miraculously healed her and delivered her, and she's completely healed with no sign of it. This was 7 years ago, I think, that this happened. Right here. And from that instance, God began to show us the abominable things. We knew nothing about it before that time. Didn't mean a thing to us until that time. And since that time, we've seen God do mighty miracles of deliverance as people have come to the revelation that the word of the Lord is a reality. And he says, don't bring an abominable thing into your house lest you become a cursed thing like it. Did I finish reading that or not? I don't think I finished reading. Neither shalt thou bring an abomination into thine house, lest thou be a cursed thing like it. But thou shalt utterly detest it, and thou shalt utterly abhor it, for it is a cursed thing. And you can study, there's lots of chapters in the Bible relating to the accursed things. And some of them you're not going to like when you read them. But God still says they're accursed. Verse 9 of chapter 20 of Leviticus. For everyone that curseth his father or his mother shall surely be put to death. He that he hath cursed his father or his mother, his blood shall be upon him. And the man that commits adultery with another woman's wife, even he hath committed adultery with his neighbor's wife, the adulterer and the adulteress shall surely be put to death. And the man that lieth with his father's wife hath uncovered his father's nakedness, both of them shall surely be put to death, their blood shall be upon them. And if a man lie with his daughter-in-law, both of them shall surely be put to death, they have wrought confusion, their blood shall be upon them. If a man also lie with mankind as he lieth with a woman, both of them have committed an abomination, they shall surely be put to death, their blood shall be upon them. If a man take a wife and her mother, it is wickedness. They shall be burnt with fire. That was what had happened over with in one of those writings of Paul. And he wrote to them and told them to separate him from them. And if a man lie with beast, he shall surely be put to death, and you shall slay the beast. And if a woman approach unto any beast and lie down thereto, thou shalt kill the woman and the beast, they shall surely be put to death, their blood shall be upon them. If a man shall take his sister or his father's daughter or his mother's daughter and see her nakedness, and she see his nakedness, it is a wicked thing. They shall be cut off in the sight of their people. He hath uncovered his sister's nakedness. He shall bear his iniquity. And if a man shall lie with a woman having her sickness and shall uncover her nakedness, he hath discovered her fountain, and she hath uncovered the fountain of her blood, and both of them shall be cut off from among their people. That's the minister, your ministerial period, your wife's ministerial time. And the Lord says that you shall not have sexual relations during the ministerial period. And if you do, he says that you shall be cut off, and you shall from among the people. Today we have all kinds of women with female problems. We have men with prostate trouble. Why? Because we have not obeyed the word of the Lord, and we've never been taught it, and almost every one of us are guilty or have been guilty of it. God says that you'll be cut off. And if you have female trouble, maybe you need to repent of having sexual relations with your husband during the time of your ministerial period. And both of you need to repent. And if you've got a prostate trouble, maybe you need to repent and ask the Lord to forgive you. And then maybe your prostate trouble will go away and your wife's female trouble will be healed. The Lord says that you shall not do it. But nobody's ever taught us that. In fact, in some of the books that's on the bookstands, they make a big deal about having sex during that time. See, God says it's abominations. Satan says it's a pleasure. Satan does it to catch you in a trap, and then he's got you. See, you're not going to lose your salvation because of it, but you may not live out your 70 years because of it. But you need to repent and ask the Lord to cleanse you, forgive you, that this curse will be lifted off of you. Then be prayed for healing if you need healing in your female or that area of your body. Thou shalt not uncover the nakedness of thy mother's sister nor thy father's sister, for he uncovered his own near kin. They shall bear their iniquity. If a man shall lie with his uncle's wife, he hath uncovered his uncle's nakedness. They shall bear their sins. They shall die childless. If a man shall take his brother's wife, it is an unclean thing. He hath uncovered his brother's nakedness. They shall be childless. You shall therefore keep all my statutes and all my judgments and do them. Lord, I don't know if I want to or not. I'll think about it. Lord didn't ask if you wanted to think about it, if you wanted to. He said, do it. Deuteronomy chapter 27. Well, Wayne, I want to read verse 26 here. Well, I might as well just stir up a little more. This chapter's got a little more in it. Why don't we just finish reading the chapter, and I'll let you worry about the rest of it. You shall not walk in the manner of the nations which I cast out before you, for they committed all these things. Therefore I abhorred them. But I have said unto you, you shall inherit their land, and I will give it unto you to possess it, a land that floweth with milk and honey. I am the Lord your God, which has separated you from other people. You shall therefore put differences between clean beast and unclean, between unclean fowl and clean, and you shall not make your souls abominable by any beast or by fowl, nor any manner living thing that creepeth on the ground, which I have separated from you as unclean. And you shall be holy unto me, for I am the Lord, for I the Lord am holy, and have severed you from other people, and you shall be mine. Deuteronomy chapter 27. I know you got all kinds of things in your head about Peter. Well, you search and read about Peter and see what Peter told the apostles when he was brought before them to give an account for what he had done. What he accounted to them didn't have one thing to do with what he ate. You search it out. Get your concordance. Search it out and read it for yourself and see. What Paul talked about also wasn't what he ate. It was a cleansing. It's what was offered unto idols, whether it could be eaten or not. It wasn't about not eating this. I know it says that if you sanctify it, it's clean. That's right. He was talking about that. But what God says is unclean, and God hasn't changed his ways. And that the American Cancer Society in Atlanta, Georgia, down there, where the government has all the research about the food. They have found that eating fat is one of the main causes of heart trouble. That they're now telling us that you shouldn't eat bacon because bacon has something in it that is detrimental and causes cancer. See, the Lord knew this back in the beginning. He made the hog to be the scavenger to kill the snakes and to clean up that which other animals won't eat. The hog will eat anything. They'll eat their own young if they die. That they'll eat them if you don't take them out of the pen. God made the hog. And the hog is one of the most filthiest animals there is. You study the hog. You find that it has filth that oozes out of the pores of its skin down by the bottom of its hoof. It oozes out there where the filth comes out. And then we eat pig's feet and pig's knuckles and eat that filth. No wonder you're sick. No wonder I've been sick. I was born and raised on it. But I thank God that the Lord showed me that it's abomination. You can get a booklet from the Washington, D.C., from the health department that tells you all about the trigonosis and how that printed by our printing press. It tells you about trigonosis that comes from pork. And that 90% of all the people who have arthritis do not have arthritis. All they've got is trigonosis, and there's no known cure for it. So the doctors tell them and treat them for arthritis because they can't do anything else for them. You get that booklet from we've got one of them upstairs, but you can get that from get it. You can write off to the Library of Congress there, and they have that booklet on pork, and it'll they have pictures in there about worms in the eyes of people, and they go blind, and when they did an autopsy on it. Well, they found trigonosis had grown in the eye and it had become a tumor in there. They've opened people up with tumors in the brain, and when they got down into the brain, the tumor was caused from trigonosis. There's been trigonosis, tumors in the joints and tumors in the body were trigonosis, millions of them there, and they've become a tumor. Tell me God didn't know what he was talking about? You can argue with me all day long that you can eat what you want when you pray over it, it's clean. You help yourself. You'll not get any of it here at the campground. You can get all you want up the street, but there'll not be any of it served here anymore. Deuteronomy chapter 28. Well, that's thrown in for extra. That had nothing to do with what I got up here to talk about this afternoon, but I saw that verse across there, and it was in that, so I just throwed it in. You can do with it what you want. As for me and my household, we'll walk after the word of the Lord. We'll not try to twist a scripture over in one of Paul's writings to make it fit what I want to do. Deuteronomy 27 is what I want. Start with verse 15. Cursed be the man that maketh any graven or molten image, an abomination unto the Lord, the work of the hands of the craftsman, and putteth it in a secret place, and all the people shall answer and say, Amen. Cursed be he that setteth or holdeth in light esteem his father or his mother, and all the people shall say, Amen. That word setteth light by his father or mother, what it actually means and the way it should read in your Bible. If it doesn't read, if you have a translation, a King James translation that reads setteth light, it should read holdeth in light esteem. So if you want to mark that in there, that's a correct rendering of that translation. Cursed be he that holdeth in light esteem his father or his mother. And if any of you have no matter how old you are, and if your parents are gone, if you have come against your parents and cursed your parents and done things contrary to obeying them, or if you're present here as young people and have held your parents and made fun of your parents or not obeyed your parents, the Lord holds you accountable, and you are accountable to obey your parents, even though you don't agree with them. And even though your parents are dead and gone and you haven't agreed with them and you've done things, you still have to ask the Lord to forgive you so that you can be set free. Because that is the first promise that's given for long life, is those who honor their mother and their father. If you honor your mother and your father, you're guaranteed. That is one guarantee of long life. And if you haven't and if you don't, then the Lord says he'll cut you off. Cursed be he that removeth his neighbor's landmark. Cursed be he that perverteth the judgment of the stranger, the fatherless, and the widow. Cursed be he that lieth with his father's wife, because he uncovered his father's skirt. Cursed be he that lieth with any man or beast. Cursed, and when it says he, it means man and woman. It just doesn't mean man. It means both genders. Cursed be he that lieth with any manner of beast. Cursed be he that lieth with his sister or with his brother, the daughter of his father, or the son of his mother, the daughter of his mother, or whatever, however you want to put it, it applies. Cursed be he that lieth with his mother-in-law. Cursed be he that smiteth his neighbor secretly. Cursed be he that taketh a reward to slay an innocent person. Cursed be he that confirmeth not all the words of this law to do them. So if you don't agree to do this and keep these words, then you're cursed because you don't agree to do it. Now, what do we have here? Leviticus chapter 18, what did we have? It says, the Lord says, thou shalt not. Chapter 18 of Leviticus says, thou shalt not. Chapter 20 of Leviticus, it says, you'll be put to death. You'll be stoned if you do these things. You'll be stoned. Chapter 27 of Deuteronomy says that you'll be cursed with a curse if you do these things. Now, let's turn back to chapter 20, Deuteronomy. And let's verify with the scripture what I said about the 10th generation curses. Now, the Lord tells us that we're cursed to the third and the fourth generation. And there's lots of curses to the third and the fourth generation. Over in Malachi and over in Joel, there's several places there where the Lord tells us that he curses us with a curse if we don't give him the glory, if we don't pay our tithes, and if the different areas, the places there where the Lord says that he curses us in these areas, and that's to the third and the fourth generation. But here, these curses that we're studying here are to the 10th generation. And where do they come from? Chapter 23, verse 2, it says, a bastard shall not enter into the congregation of the Lord, even to his 10th generation. That's one born out of wedlock, one born out of marriage. That person cannot come into the congregation of the Lord. They're cursed to the 10th generation. You need that curse broken off of you, and you need to be set free from it if you're born out of wedlock. It says, an Amorite or a Moabite shall not enter into the congregation of the Lord, even to their 10th generation. 10 generations is approximately 400 years, it says, and they shall not enter into the congregation of the Lord even forever. And that says forever because 10 generations is almost to that time. And scientists have found that mixed marriages, which is also incest, to marry out of your race, the white should not marry the black, and we should not marry the Orientals, and in that area, they should marry in their own race. And God says that shall not be so. You shall not marry out of your race. And there are Ezra and Nehemiah had to take that up, and they had to send the women and the children back to where to their nationality, where they came from, and separate them back and send them back to their own land. Ezra and Nehemiah did because the Lord told them to. Because they were mixed marriages, and God says mixed marriages are forbidden. It's incest. But the Amorite and the Moabite, who were they? And today we're plagued with the Amorites and the Moabites over in the east. But who are they? They're the descendants of Lot by incest with his two daughters. And the Amorite and the Moabite are the two sons born to Lot's two daughters by incest, he being their father. God says that these relationships are cursed to the 10th generation. Now, you say, well, if I have this problem or in any of these areas that you've talked about here this afternoon, what do we do about it? Well, the Lord made a way for us. If we confess our sin, he's faithful and just to forgive us of our sin and deliver us and to set us free. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever should believe on him should not perish, but have everlasting life. And he said, whosoever. But he loved the world. But all the world is not saved. Yet, he said, God so loved the world. But all the world is not saved. It's those who come and ask for salvation and repentance and healing. You have to come and ask for it if you're going to receive it. Where do we find the answer to that? Galatians 3:13. Jesus became a curse so that I don't have to bear the curse. It says, whosoever's hanged on a tree is cursed. Jesus became a curse so I don't have to bear the curse. So the curse that we're cursed with, when we confess these areas of our lives, we can ask the Lord to break that curse, because Jesus became that curse so I don't have to bear that curse. And I can come out from underneath the bondage and the weight of it, and I can be set free and delivered from it. This afternoon, we're going to pray in these areas and break this bondage and loose we or you or whoever here who is bound in any way by any of these areas. We're going to break those curses off of us and set us free from it, and command the Satan to take his hand off and loose us from these curses that hold us in bondage in any of these areas. And so a little later on, we'll pray in these areas. Irma, I don't know what she's going to talk about here for a while, but she's going to teach for a little while, and then we'll come and pray prayers of deliverance.
Praise the Lord. Now, Glenn didn't tell you, but the first time I ever heard him teach on that, I almost collapsed, because we were over. We had a boy that come here to live with us about 9 months. Stay here 9 months. He was fresh out of Notre Dame. He had received the Holy Spirit in the third year of his college. Is that loud enough? Can you hear me? Oh, you can't hear me? And when he received the Holy Spirit at Notre Dame, he thought he was doing something good. So he got up in the cafeteria and preached him a sermon on idolatry. Well, that didn't go over too well. In two or three days, he was out of the school. And he had heard through some friends about us, so he called to see if he could come over here. So he came over, and he lived here 9 months. And we prayed with him a lot about going back to college. Is everything off? And so he applied at ORU and went there because he wanted to be a medical doctor. That was his goal. He was French, Indian, and Spanish. And a real, real smart boy, real intelligent. So after he got over there for a while, he met a lot of kids in the dorms that needed deliverance. So he called us to see if we would come over there and teach. They got a place over at Youth for Christ in the parsonage to have the meeting. So we went over. There was about 30 kids came and three instructors, which was really good, really wonderful. So Glenn gets up and he reads all these scriptures. And I had never ever noticed them in the Bible before, because we were taught from the time we were young to just read the New Testament. I hadn't really read a lot. I'd read Psalms 91. I could handle that. I could handle 23rd Psalm all right. And I could handle Joel, some of it. But so he began to teach on that. And I thought, oh my land, these kids all look like angels. They don't look like they have anything wrong with them. Give me some more volume. It's weak yet. Turn it up a little more. And so he finished, and he began to command these evil spirits of incest to come out of these kids, my land. The first one, I had looked at one lady, one of the instructors, nursing instructor, and I thought, well, she sure looks like she's going to fight this. And I didn't know what was going to happen. But the first thing that happened, she just fell out on the floor and was writhing around and screaming and like a snake. And then the whole place just became bedlam. And I just was in shock. I was almost too shocked to pray for them. And it went on for several hours. And Skip, the boy that had lived here for a while and knew something about deliverance, he started praying for them. And it took us several hours to free those kids. But one girl kept yelling and crying out, I can't, I can't, I can't. So Glenn told me, go over there and pray with that girl and see what's wrong with her. And she told me, she said, I can't tell you. And I said, well, honey, you're going to have to confess this, because if you don't, it's just going to keep tormenting you. And what it was, she said, I don't want to go home at Thanksgiving time. This was in the fall. Because, she says, my mother has raped me since I was a little girl. And she also rapes my brothers. And this was a Pentecostal home. I'm sorry to say, but it was a Pentecostal home. The mother and the father were Pentecostals, but this mother had done this. So when the minute the girl confessed it, we asked the Lord to cleanse her, and then the evil spirit left and all the torment left. So that was a real eye-opener. Sometimes people from Missouri, we have to see things to believe them, you know. And after that, I was a believer of that. But, you know, God is dealing with our personalities today. Everything that is sin in us, the Holy Spirit is bringing to light. Now, Brother Mac so beautifully taught us last night and this morning. Now, how many enjoyed that? We need to take all of that to heart, all of it. Because our hearts, the Bible says, are desperately wicked. Who can know? And we need to ask the Holy Spirit to turn the light on us, to awaken. That's in us. We're not all without spot or wrinkle. We've got lots of things in us that we don't even know that's in us. And we need to keep asking the Lord to turn a light on us. Now, I want to read just a little bit from 2 Timothy. We're not going to labor this long because I feel it's time that we move right on into deliverance. By the way, the ladies had a wonderful deliverance service upstairs. And by the way, we also prayed for Glenn and Brother Mac and the Brother Goodson, and for Brother Tommy Cook, who's going to preach tonight. We spent quite a few minutes praying for them. We got rid of a lot of murder and hatred, and we also prayed for all of our husbands. We prayed for all you men that you'd get delivered. And is that all right? Is that all right, men? Praise the Lord. And there was a lot of good deliverances, wasn't there, Jenny? Just a lot of beautiful deliverances. It isn't very pretty while it's going on, but it's wonderful when it's all over. Let's read in 2 Timothy, the 3rd chapter. This know also that in the last days perilous times shall come. Well, we're there now. For men shall be lovers of their own selves, covetous, boasters, proud, blasphemers, disobedient to parents, unthankful, and unholy. And this morning while I was walking up the sidewalk to get in the car to come down here, the Lord says, my people are unthankful. And I thought, oh, dear Lord. But we need deliverance from being unthankful. We need every day to thank the Lord for his precious blood. Thank the Father for sending the Son that we might be redeemed, that we can get out from under these curses, that we can get out from under these sinful things, that we can come out from under disease. These things that we've inherited in our bloodline for generations. We call it running in the family. You know, they say, well, his father drank a lot. And his grandfather, they were all drunks in that family. It just runs in the family. It's an evil spirit that's running in the family. See, we need to break that off so it stops, so it doesn't go any further down into the children and the grandchildren. So we were breaking curses upstairs, too. Curses about suicide. Curses of the occult visited down on us from the third and the fourth generation back. That's what the Word of God says. And so we were taking up various things. We had a wonderful time. And tomorrow, right at 1 o'clock, we'll go back up there and have another try at it. Without natural affection, well, we see that all the time. Some people's dogs are treated better than most children on the street. Natural affection, truce breakers. You have to sign and sign and sign papers now if you borrow money because nobody can trust anybody else. False accusers, incontinent, that means no self-restraint, no control, no self-control. Fierce. You know, if you read the police reports, even here in this town, it makes your blood run cold. There's so many robberies, there's so many stabbings, there's murders. There's all kinds of people breaking into homes and rape. Fierce people. They're fierce. Despisers of those that are good. How many people know the sinners hate the Christians? They just hate us. Traitors. There's a lot of Judas Iscariots. I hope there's none sitting in here this afternoon. I hope there's no traitors in here this afternoon with Judas Iscariot spirits. Heady. High-minded. Lovers of pleasure more than lovers of God. All of these things have to be repented of and gotten rid of. Everything. Self-will. stubbornness, self-centeredness, self-love, idolatry, and rebellion. I was thinking about this girl that Glenn was talking about that had the cancer. It happened 7 or 8 years ago. And she also had a Buddha wearing it around her neck. She'd gotten in the Bahamas, a little solid gold, little tiny thing, Buddha, who is a false god. We don't have any business having false gods in our houses or wearing them around our neck or having a rabbit's foot on our key ring. We don't have any business with things like that. That's all things to pull us down and drag us down. Little by little, if the enemy can beat us down with anything, if he has any rights to us, he'll just prey on you. All of the torment that people have from not forgiving others. You know, if you don't forgive people, you cannot be delivered. Do you know that? If you won't forgive others, the Lord says he won't forgive us. Now, is that serious? Don't you think that's one of the most serious sins that we can ever harbor is unforgiveness? Let's just look at that a minute. I think it's in Matthew 6. 6th chapter, Matthew and the 18th chapter. 6th chapter and the 14th verse. For if ye forgive your trespasses, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. Now this is God, God of love, our Father. But if you forgive not men their trespasses, neither will your Father forgive your trespasses. Is that clear? That's our Father, God of love. But if we don't forgive, then he's not going to forgive. And Matthew 18:34. And his Lord was wroth and delivered him to the tormentors till he should pay all that was due unto him. If you want to read the story, I won't go into it, but this man was unmerciful, to say the least. So likewise shall my heavenly Father do also unto you, if ye from your hearts forgive not every one his brother their trespasses. So we have to forgive our husbands. You men have to forgive your wives. We have to forgive God. A lot of people, you know, I can't understand this. This is the last thing I would ever want to do, is to get mad at God. That's the last person to get mad at. Don't you realize that in one whiff he can jerk your breath right out of you? Or one slap of his hand, he can crush you to the floor? Don't get mad at God. It's better to get mad at yourself if you're going to get mad at somebody, but please don't get mad at God. And please do forgive other people. If you don't forgive other people, God's not going to forgive you. And many people's prayers don't even go any higher than to the ceiling because God just won't hear them if we carry this animosity and this unforgiveness in us. I was thinking also about somebody that used to come to the prayer group in California, and she always looked black. And I would pray and ask the Lord, and every week we'd have to pray for her to just keep her standing up, you know, and prop her up every week and do everything we knew to do to pray. And one time, something came about and about a Buddha. And do you know, as she said, oh, we went to the Buddhist temple and bought our souls for $1. And we have the certificate. And right away, that's why she looked black all the time, because she had that thing in her house, in her possession. We don't need things like that. We need the precious blood in our hearts. We need cleansing. We don't need a certificate to take us to heaven. That's not going to get us there. And another party that we knew had a child that would wake up every night at 2:00 in the morning, scream and cry and shake all over and say, see. He was just a little thing, about 3 years old, and they couldn't see anything. Didn't know what it was. And they called and asked us to pray for him. And we invited him to a prayer group. That very night we were going to have a prayer group at somebody else's house, and so we went, and the meeting did not turn exactly that way to pray for them and pray for this child. As we went out in the road to get our cars, we just took hold of their hands and we prayed for them. And the next morning, it was Sunday morning, we had just got home with our Winnebago, and I said to Glenn, could you run out and get the butter out of the icebox in the Winnebago? We'd been gone for about a month and we needed the butter for breakfast, and when he went out there, the whole icebox had gone off on our way home, and I hadn't even looked in there, and everything was moldy, and he come bringing in all this stuff in the house. And while I was washing the dishes and cleaning up that mess, mildew all over the refrigerator and the mold, the Lord spoke audibly to me and said, just in my ear, as clear as a bell, did you ask those people if they had a Buddha in their house? And I answered right back out loud. When he talks to me like that, sometimes I just answer him out loud. I said, no, I didn't ask them. And I went to the phone to try and get their phone number. I wanted to call them right then, but they had a strange spelling name, and I could never find it in the phone book. So I had to wait till I got to the office on Monday, and I had it on my desk pad. I had written down their name and their address and their phone number on my desk pad. So I called her, and I said, do you have a Buddha in your house? And she said, oh, yes, a beautiful one. We brought it from Saigon. I said, that's why your child is waking up every night, that Buddha spirit comes out, and that child can see it. And I said, you're going to have to get rid of that. And she said, oh, no, we can't. It costs too much money. And I said, well, I don't think your child's going to get any better until you do. She said, well, we'll sell it. And I said, and take it into somebody else's home where their baby's going to wake up every night and cry. And so she said, well, I have to talk to my husband. It costs a lot of money. They both worked in Saigon during the Vietnam War. And so about 3 days went by, and I had said to her, well, if you don't want to do that, I'm afraid you're going to have to be awakened every night. And I just let it go at that. Well, she called me up, and she said, we've decided to get rid of it. What should we do? And I said, take it to the alley and pound it up. In L.A., you're not allowed to burn anything. And pound it up and throw it in the trash. So she said she would do that. And then they called me back and said, what else do we do? And I said, walk through your house and clean out your house. Command every evil spirit of Buddha or any other spirit that this has brought into your home to leave. And you know that child never woke up again? See, it works, people. It works. You may think we're nuts around here and nitty-gritty and just picking at you, but we're not. We're up against the wall, Christians. There's too many Christians sick. There's too many of us sick. There's too many things wrong with people that there's no answer for. Somebody asked me the other day, what I thought about AIDS. I said, I think it's a plague from God. In fact, some senator came on TV and said it's a plague from God. Said, why should we help and give them all this money to take care of them when it's a plague from God? And I thought, praise God. I was praying for him. I can't remember what senator it was, but I thought the whole world heard that on TV. Then I heard another minister get up and argue that it isn't a plague from God. It's just a disease. But that doesn't matter. It is a plague from God, I think. It's incurable. And they also said the other day about AIDS, it's akin to MS. MS is incurable. Cancer is incurable. We're living in perilous times, as Timothy has said. We're living in perilous times, and we need to change. Christians will have to change if we're going to get out of this terrible syndrome that we're in. Too many people sick, and too many people not walking in victory. There's a lot more victory than any of us are walking in. It's there for us. There's a lot more power than we've ever been given, because the Lord can't trust us with that power till we get rid of all of our pride. I've often said, if we went down to the hospital and cleaned out the whole sick bay, by night they'd have a parade and we'd be waving and saying, look what we did, right down Main Street. Dr. Price used to prophesy that to us when we were kids, when Glenn and I were young. But it's coming. I believe it's coming. That kind of power and that kind of authority. But we have to get all these sins out of us and all of this junk out of us and all of our traditions out of us so we can be led by the Spirit and really become sons of God. That's Romans 8 tells us that. And the whole creation is waiting for us. They're waiting for us to do something. And we get these SOS calls constantly. You know, horrible things are happening in Christian families. And we pray, and we're glad to pray. But I believe it behooves every one of us to take these things to heart. Now, if we can take Psalms 23 or Psalms 91, then we better take from Genesis to Revelations. And we better forget what we've been taught, and that we don't have to pay any attention to the Old Testament. And we better start living with the commandments. I've heard many of the very best preachers stand up and say, you don't have to keep the commandments. And when Glenn started preaching and studying on this, I thought, how could they, as spiritual as they are, how could they get up and say, we don't have to keep the commandments? That's why we have adultery. It says, thou shalt not commit adultery. See, they don't want to we were in some meetings not too long back, and I'm going to close, and there were two preachers there with their flock in a home meeting. And I don't blame them for coming to see what we're going to say, but that I didn't mind. I grew up in a preacher's home, and I'm not too afraid of ministers, but my dad always taught us the upper crust and the lower crust is all made out of the same dough. So you don't have to be too alarmed about preachers. And so right while we were talking, this one preacher stood up and read a verse in the New Testament, something I forget now, that Christians couldn't have a demon. I said, well, I don't understand. You men, both of you men say you've been pastoring over 25 years. And they said, yes. And I said, you've never had a demon-possessed deacon in all those years? Well, they just roared. They said, yeah, I guess we have. And come to find out, when it was all over, I was talking to one of the minister's wives, very lovely, very lovely. And she mentioned about her father and said he was a preacher. And then she mentioned, I said, what kind of a preacher? She said, well, Assembly of God and Baptist. And I don't know how it came out. I don't know how it came out, but finally she gave me, I said, well, what was your father's name? And she told me, and I said, well, I know him. She said, you do? I said, well, I knew him when I was a kid. I said, did he live in Quincy, Illinois? Yes. I said, well, I knew him. And I didn't know this at all, but you see, the Lord has ways of bringing things out to mind. And after everybody went home, the people of the house told us that her father, who's 80-some years old, had just come to visit her and that she would not forgive him. Because when she was 11, he ran off with another woman. And she ran down the driveway when he was telling them goodbye, holding on to the door handle, crying, Daddy, Daddy, don't leave us, don't leave us. And they had never seen each other in all these years, and he was 80 years old and about ready to die, and he came to ask her to forgive him, and she wouldn't do it. Now, I feel sorry for that girl. She needs prayer. She really needs prayer. The other minister is on pins and needles because his wife was leading the singing in this very prominent first church, and her eyes locked onto a man in the audience. You know, these spirits can ally together. Adultery spirits can lock right on. And this guy is much younger than her, but she wants to divorce her husband and marry. And then they're standing up with their old tradition and saying, a Christian can't have a demon. Now, those things had not ought to be. But you see, God is going to put his hand down on all of us and all of our sin. We were reading in Isaiah the other day, and I imagine you've come across it if you're teaching it. I had never seen this before. We were reading just in our morning prayer meeting, where in the day of the Lord is going to come down and remove the sinners out of the earth. You see that? Did you see it? Isn't that pretty startling? That is startling. I think, I'll give you the reference. I think I will. I think it's Isaiah 13:9. Isaiah 13:9. Let's look at it. Let me quote it exactly right. Let me read it to you. Isaiah 13:9. Behold, the day of the Lord cometh, cruel both with wrath and fierce anger, to lay the land desolate, and he shall destroy the sinners thereof out of it. You know, saints, we're not going anywhere. The kingdom is upon us. We're right at the kingdom right now. We're flopping over. We're just flopping over. We're not going to be raptured out. We're going to be raptured in the Spirit. We're going to be raised up in the Spirit of God. But we're not going anywhere. The Lord is going to come and remove. The angels in Matthew 24, the messenger, are going to come and remove the tares out. It's all right. We've listened to too many traditions and too many flyaways. We don't even let them sing I'll Fly Away here. We don't need that song. That's right. That's right, Brother Phipps. Well, how many here... Now, let's be honest. How many here believe that they need deliverance in some of these areas? Whether it be pride, whether it be incest, whether it be homosexuals. We pray for lots of homosexuals here. Lots of lesbians. Lots of lesbians come here for help, and they get help. Praise God. Self-centeredness, self-righteous, all kinds of incest, all kinds of spirits of Moab. One school teacher came here once, I remember, and she said, I want to be delivered of the spirit of Moab. I thought, Moab, what in the world is that? I had to grab my dictionary and look up Moab, and right away it said incest. And I thought, well, praise God. She's pretty bold. She was telling me that going up the stairs. We were going up to the second floor. We had about six people that had had bestiality contacts or something really, really gross. And she said, I want to be delivered from a Moab spirit. I honestly didn't know what that was before Glenn read all that to me. I had to look it up. When I got upstairs, I grabbed my dictionary off the shelf and I looked at Moab real quick to see what it was. Mm-hmm. Well, that taught me something. That taught me something. And bless her heart, she got delivered. She got delivered. This afternoon, there are a lot of people here. There are a lot of serious cases here this afternoon. We got lots of deliverance this morning. Deliverance last night. We'll get deliverance tonight. We're going to get deliverance this afternoon. How many here feel that you need some type of deliverance this afternoon in these areas? Put up your hands. Don't be bashful. Come on. Put up your hands. All these evil things that harass you. Unforgiveness. Spirits of unforgiveness. We need to be delivered of that so God will forgive us. If we don't forgive others, He just lets us go on in our merry way, getting sicker and sicker. Well, let's pray. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Let's all pray together. Dear Father, we come in the name of Jesus. We are a needy people this afternoon. We've come here to have our needs met. We ask you to deliver us. And forgive us for not forgiving others, for being in relationship with incest for the past 400 years that's carried in our bloodline. We ask you to deliver us from all evil, for self-centeredness and pride. And inability to receive the word. And traditions of the elders. Lord, we want your word. We want to abide in your word. We want you to abide in us. For Lord, you say, then we can ask what we will. And you will answer us. In Joel 2, it says, whoever calls on the name of the Lord shall be delivered. We call on you this afternoon because we're all whosoever's. And we need your help. We need your deliverance. We ask you now to deliver us and set us free. I just sit there a moment quietly and let the blood of Jesus come down and cleanse you. Thank you for your blood, Jesus. Thank you for your blood that it avails much. Thank you, Jesus, for your blood. Thank you, Jesus, for your blood. Thank you, Jesus, for your blood. Praise you, Jesus. Now Glenn's going to come and we're going to start commanding these evil things to come out of you. And we ask the helpers to come and get the paper towels. And some people... One time a man asked me here, he says, where does God say you have to vomit up demons? I said, I don't know, but I'll ask him. I'll find out. And that night I was praying. I said, Lord, where do you say that? And the next morning I was sitting in the living room praying and asking the Lord, why do people foam at the mouth and vomit up demons? And he said, all I could hear was cast out, cast out, cast out. And I thought, what in the world is that? I knew what cast out meant, but I went to my dictionary and I looked. There's actually the word in there, cast out. You know what it means? First meaning, vomit. To give a deep breath and breathe out or expel. And so the next night I came back and he was sitting up here. I said, some man asked me last night about this. And I told him I'd ask the Lord to show me. And the Lord has given it to me. And I read that verse in the last chapter of Mark where believers will cast out evil spirits. And I read him the definition out of the dictionary, and he said, amen. The Lord has an answer, doesn't he? All right, we're going to start coming against these spirits. And we'll come down in the audience and lay hands on you if you need it. And we have our helpers back here, Patty and Becky.
Brother Lee.
Brother.
Doc.
Doc.
Possibility.
Yes, I know a family that everybody at 56 died from a stroke. One of them was my aunt.
An inherited curse that's followed, a familiar spirit followed the family down. And the Lord's beginning to give us understanding and revelation, and we don't have to live under these things. We don't have to live under it. Amen. Amen. Father, I come in the name of the Lord Jesus, that name that's above every name, that name to which every knee shall bow and every tongue will confess that Jesus Christ is Lord. I come in that name. Father, you tell us in your word, and Jesus tells us that in my name we will cast out devils and set the captives free and lay hands on the sick, and they will be healed. This afternoon, Father, I come in that name, the name of the Lord Jesus. Take authority over every demon spirit here and every familiar spirit here this afternoon, and I bind them to the day of judgment in Jesus' name. Ask, Father, for you to send the angels of the Lord to do battle here with us. Send the angels of the Lord to take these spirits and keep them bound till Jesus shall judge them at the day of judgment. I thank you for it, Father. I praise you for it. Now I bind the spirits here and I loose them from them. They shall not tear or harm in any way. They shall not harass or cause any confusion. I bind them. They shall come out as we call them out in Jesus' name. Father, I come against the spirits of incest. I bind the breaking to the curses of incest that's visited down on these people and on ourselves for 10 or 30 generations. I break the power of it. I go back for 30 generations against the spirit of incest. I break that foul spirit. I break the curse of it over these people in Jesus' name. I loose them. You spirits of incest, I break your dominion. The blood of Jesus cleanses and washes us. The blood of Jesus. If you've been involved in any of that, you ask the Lord to cleanse you. You ask the Lord to forgive you. I break the bondage of it in Jesus' name. I loose these people from it in the name of the Lord. You spirit of incest, you foul, unclean spirit, I bind your power. I break your dominion over these people. I loose them from it in Jesus' name. From the eldest to the youngest, I break that bondage. I set them free. I loose them. Come off of them. Come out of them. Break your power in the name of Jesus. In Jesus' name, spirit of incest, loose these people. Come out of them. Break your bondage, you familiar spirit. You familiar spirit that's following the family line. You curse of incest, I break your bondage over them. Come out. Come out in Jesus' name. I loose it from them in Jesus' name. Come on, move, move. Come out. Come out in Jesus' name. Come on. Come on. Incest. Incest. Fornication. Spirit of fornication. Spirit of adultery. Spirit of adultery. Spirit of divorce. I break your bondage over these people. Come out. Come out in Jesus' name. Move, move. Come out. Come out. Spirit of adultery. Spirit of fornication. Spirit of pornography. Come out. Come out in Jesus' name. Move, move, come out. Come out in the name of the Lord. Come on, move. Come on, come on. Spirit of fornication. Spirit of adultery. Spirit of pornography. Come out, come out. Spirit of pornography. Spirit of homosexuality. Spirit of lesbianism. Spirit of bestiality. Come out of these people. Come on, come on, move, move. Come on, all you related spirits of incest and fornication. Come on, move, come out. Come out in Jesus' name. I break your powers. I bind you to the day of judgment. I break your dominion. Come out. Come out, you unclean spirits. Come out. Move. Move. Come out in Jesus' name. Come on. I break your bondage over these people. I loose you. I loose you. The blood of Jesus cleanses. The blood of Jesus cleanses and washes. Jesus became a curse so they don't have to bear the curse. Jesus became that curse. He is that curse for us. Come out. Move. Move. Come out. Come on. Loose them. Loose these people. Homosexuality. Every spirit of homosexuality, I bind you. Break your dominion. Every spirit of lesbianism, I break your dominion over these people. Come out. Come out in Jesus' name. Spirits of bestiality. Come on, move. Spirit of bestiality, move. Come out. Come out in Jesus' name. Come on, every spirit of bestiality, come out in the name of the Lord, Brother Mac. In Jesus' name, come on, move. Move, you unclean, foul spirits. Come out in Jesus' name. Come on, all you spirits of bestiality. Incest, come out. Fornication, spirits of fornication and uncleanliness. Come out. Come out in Jesus' name. Come on, move, move. Come out. Come out. Uncleanliness. Spirits of uncleanliness. Inordinate affection. Spirits of inordinate affection. Come out. I bind you in Jesus' name. I take authority over you. I bind your power. I break your dominion over these people. Set them free in Jesus' name. Unholy desires. Unholy desires. Spirits of lust. Spirits of lust. Sexual lust. I bind you. Spirits of lust. Come out.
Come out in Jesus' name. Come out in spirits of lust, sexual lust, spirits of lust for things, spirits of lust for pleasures. I bind your power. I break your dominion. Come out over these people. Loose them in Jesus' name. Come out. Come out in Jesus' name. Covetousness, spirits of covetousness. You covetous spirits, come out in Jesus' name. I break your dominion. Come out. Move. Move. Come out. Come out. I break your power over these people. Come out. Move. Move in Jesus' name. Come out. Come out. I bind you. I break your power. Come out in Jesus' name. You spirits of alcohol, I bind you. Inheritive spirits of alcohol, I break your power. I bind you in Jesus' name. I break your dominion over these people. Come out of them. Come out. Come out. Alcohol. Anyone who's been alcohol or has drunk alcohol, I break that curse from off of you. I loose you from them. Inherited alcohol from your ancestors, I break that power in Jesus' name. Come out in Jesus' name. I break that dominion in Jesus' name. You spirits of anger and rage and wrath, come out. Come out in Jesus' name. Come out in the name of the Lord. Come out in Jesus. Irma, lay your hands. Yes, in Jesus' name. Come out. Come out. I bind you, spirits of rage and anger. Anger and rage. Uncontrollable rage. Uncontrollable anger. Come out. Come out in Jesus' name. You foul, unclean spirit, I bind you. Break your dominion over.
This is the end of this message. Our website is www.LakeHamiltonBibleCamp.com and LHBCOnline.com. There are hundreds of free audio files there. It's like going to Bible school at home. Thank you.